pray. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we thank You for the blessings You shower down upon us. We thank You for faithful pastors that preach Your Word in truth and purity and with power. Heavenly Father, help us all, pastors, leaders, laity, to make the good confession. Jesus, crucified and risen for forgiveness, life, and salvation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Hymn 482.
Follow the order of Vespers, page 229. Please stand.
O Lord, open my lips,
and my mouth will declare Your grace.
Make haste, O God, to deliver me.
Make haste to help me.
our introit for this evening. Hymn 517, and note, we will insert verse 11 for St. Timothy today. So we'll sing verses 1, 11, and 3. Please be seated. Please be seated. The first reading for the festival of St. Timothy is from Acts, chapter 16. Paul also came to Derbe and Lystra. A disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a Jewish woman who was a believer, but his father was a Greek. He was well spoken of by the brothers at Lystra and Iconium. Paul wanted Timothy to accompany him, and he took him and circumcised him because of the Jews who were in those places, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. As they went on their way through the cities, they delivered to them for observance the decisions that had been reached by the apostles and elders who were in Jerusalem. So the churches were strengthened in the faith, and they increased in numbers daily. O Lord, have mercy upon us.
Thanks be to God.
We speak together the gradual for this day. Behold, I will search for my sheep and will seek them out. I will rescue them from all places where they have been scattered. I will set shepherds over them who will care for them, and they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed. A reading from 1 Timothy chapter 6. But as for you, O man of God, flee these things. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, steadfastness, gentleness. Fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called, and about which you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. I charge you in the presence of God, who gives life to all things, and of Christ Jesus, who in His testimony before Pontius Pilate made the good confession, to keep the commandment unstained and free from reproach until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which He will display at the proper time, He who is the blessed and only Sovereign, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone has immortality, who dwells in unapproachable light, whom no one has ever seen or can see. To Him be honor and eternal dominion. Amen. O Lord, have mercy upon us.
Thanks be to God.
A reading from Matthew, the 24th chapter. Jesus said, "Therefore, stay awake, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake, and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Who then is the faithful and wise servant, whom his master has set over his household, to give them their food at the proper time? Blessed is that servant, whom his master will find doing so when he comes. Truly I say to you, he will set him over all his possessions." O Lord, have mercy upon us.
Thanks be to God.
Teach me your way, O Lord, that I may walk in your truth.
Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path.
Unite my heart to fear your name, that I may walk in your truth.
Your word is a lamp.
To the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
Your word is a lamp to
churches were strengthened in the faith, and they increased in numbers daily. Grace, mercy, peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for our sermon, this festival of St. Timothy, is the first lesson, read a few moments ago from the 16th chapter of the book of Acts, dear friends in Christ. As the fires of Reformation were just heating up, as the Pope was finding out just how much trouble a little German monk could be, Martin Luther released three documents. The year was 1520, and these three texts, number one, to the Christian nobility of the German nation, number two, the Babylonian captivity of the church, and number three, the freedom of the Christian, were cannon blasts that shook the Western church to its core. Now, while each of these documents is pretty accessible to everyone, the freedom of a Christian was especially designed for lay people. It was intended to present forth the basics of the Christian's life of faith, to convey Luther's teachings to the masses. He describes the Christian life on the very first page with a paradox. Now, a paradox is two statements that seem contradictory but are actually both true. Here it is. A Christian is a perfectly free Lord of all, subject to none. A Christian is a perfectly dutiful servant of all, subject to all. This paradox, this seeming contradiction, defines the life of a Christian. You are both Lord and servant. No one has a claim on you, and yet everyone has a claim on you. You are completely and perfectly free, yet you are completely and perfectly in service to all. This is the Christian life. In Acts chapter 15, just right before our text for tonight, the 12 apostles, along with the entire church in Jerusalem, gathered together for a council. On the agenda was one item. Don't you wish we had a meeting like that? One item. One weighty item. The question was this: should people have to become Jews in order to become Christians? Do people need to be in obedience to the Jewish rites and observations and first before they can be brought into the Christian church? Do Gentiles, non-Jewish people like most, maybe all of us here tonight, need to receive things like circumcision, the mark of a Jewish man, or follow that complicated dietary law of the Jews in order to follow Christ? Now, the church did the right thing. They heard the witness of the apostles. They examined the Scriptures. There was much, and I imagine quite bitter, debate. But in the end, the church issued a decree. People do not have to become Jews in order to be Christians. Freedom ruled the day, as Luther said. A Christian is a perfectly free Lord of all, subject to none. You see, following Christ is not a matter of outward marks on the body. It is not a matter of eating the right food or walking only so far on the Sabbath. Following Christ is a matter of faith, a matter of grace. For Christ has set us free from the law. He fulfilled the law perfectly. The Ten Commandments, which still stand, and the Jewish ceremonial law, which He fulfilled and then put away. He fulfilled it all perfectly. And then He died for you who don't. He shed His blood to fulfill the law's requirements, to satisfy its penalty. Nothing more needs to be done. Following Christ is not a matter of doing all the right things, brownie points before God on high. Following Christ is a matter of faith. Faith which clings to the freedom which Christ won, the freedom which He gives. You do not get to heaven by your keeping of the law, even by keeping the Ten Commandments, as if you were able to. You are saved by grace alone, received by faith alone. You are free. A Christian is a perfectly free Lord of all, subject to none. The burden of the law is no more. Christians are free. Now this is the decree that young Timothy was to carry forth to the churches as a companion of St. Paul. A declaration of freedom. A word of joy for the Gentiles and for all. And he was well chosen. Timothy had been raised up in the faith with a believing mother and grandmother. He was taught the Scriptures from childhood. And it seems that the entire family, minus Dad, became Christians through the preaching of St. Paul. Not only did he know the Scriptures, though, but also, as Luke tells us, he was well spoken of by the brothers at Lystra and Iconium. The church testified to his approval, to his suitability for this work. They placed their seal of approval upon him. And so, Paul ordained him, made him a pastor. For the church is always in need of men who know the Scriptures, who are well spoken of by others for the proclamation of the gospel. And while the process may look just a little bit different today, with seminaries and evaluations and call documents, in its essence, it's really the same. Those men who know the Scriptures and are recommended by the church are put into the office of the holy ministry to preach the Word of God. But there was a problem. Paul wanted Timothy to accompany him, and he took him and circumcised him because of the Jews who were in those places, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. Now just think about this. St. Paul has been entrusted with a decree from the apostles. And this decree said that circumcision is no longer necessary. That Christians were free from the law. And yet, he decides to circumcise Timothy. St. Paul, having worked and fought and wrote, arguing that Gentiles do not need to become Jews in order to become Christians, St. Paul, who exerted and expended so much energy, so much effort, declaring circumcision unnecessary, circumcises Timothy. What's going on here? Well, we need to look at the second half of Martin Luther's paradox. A Christian is a perfectly dutiful servant of all, subject to all. St. Paul foregoes, he puts aside that freedom that he has in Christ, and he observes this Jewish practice, even though he doesn't have to, so that he can proclaim the gospel to the Jews. Now, don't get me wrong. He doesn't do this to please a bunch of Jewish Christians. If they would have demanded that Timothy be circumcised, Paul would have refused. Instead, he does this for unbelievers. He does this for Jewish unbelievers so that they would listen to the gospel and not be offended by the presence of an uncircumcised man in their house or their synagogue. You see, dear friends, our freedom in the gospel, our freedom in and from the law, is not to be used to the detriment of others. If you want to help a struggling alcoholic to stay sober, you don't do so with a beer in your hands. If you want to help a friend avoid sexual temptation, you pay attention to how you dress and how you act. For the sake of the gospel, some things you may say and do in the presence of strong Christians, you may forego in the presence of the weak and unbelievers. A Christian is a perfectly dutiful servant of all, subject to all. God doesn't need your good works. Christ has won your salvation through His bloody death and victorious resurrection. Your neighbor needs your good works. And often, your neighbor needs you to forego your freedom for their sake. That's what Paul does. He circumcises Timothy for the sake of the gospel, so that Timothy would have the opportunity to preach to the Jews for the salvation of many, so that many would be in heaven. In fact, you could say that he circumcises Timothy to destroy circumcision. For Timothy brings the message that circumcision doesn't matter, that there is a new circumcision that is not of the law, but of the gospel, baptism into Christ. You see, St. Paul spent an entire letter and many parts of other letters, read the letter to the Galatians, saying that circumcision is nothing, and neither is uncircumcision. But if circumcising Timothy will help the proclamation of the gospel, if it will ensure that more ears will listen to the message of freedom, Paul's going to do it. Not because he has to, but because he has been set free. Now, if someone wants to take that freedom, he's going to fight. He will refuse. Read Galatians. And you, dear friends, are to do the same if anyone tries to take that freedom you have. But if holding back from your freedom helps your neighbor, such as a Christian weak in the faith or a non-believer, then this is the path of love. And Christ blesses both Paul's declaration, proclamation of freedom, and his holding back from exercising it. The churches were strengthened in the faith, and they increased in numbers daily. So Martin Luther's paradox really has captured the heart of the Christian life. A Christian is a perfectly free Lord of all, subject to none. A Christian is a perfectly dutiful servant of all, subject to all. You are free. Free from the law's demands, free from the law's accusations. You are free from sin. You are not free to sin. For sin is the deepest bondage, a bondage that delivers unto death. You are free. Good works are no longer needed for your salvation. No special observances of the law. In so many ways, you can exercise your freedom as a Christian. But you have neighbors, and they have needs. And the Lord God has given you hands and feet to help them. You have neighbors, and their consciences are soft, easily burdened. And God, who has given you freedom, invites you to forego that freedom in love, so that in all things the church may be built up and strengthened. You are free, dear friends, free from the bondage of sin, free to serve. And if the Son sets you free, you shall be free indeed. You shall be free forever. In the name of Jesus, amen. We stand for the Canticle, the Magnificat, page 231. Let my prayer rise before you as incense.
Again, welcome. Welcome in the name of Jesus. This time we ask that you would participate in what we call the rite of fellowship. There's a pad at the end of each row. Please sign your name. Visitors, we're glad you're here. Please share with us your mailing address so we can acknowledge your presence in worship with us. Special word of welcome to those who are worshiping with us on the radio or on the internet. We pray that the good news of a God who sets us free and calls us to serve one another would be yours today and always. We worship God now with our gifts and offerings. Our service continues and concludes with the prayers of the church. We begin with the Kyrie, page 233. Please stand as you're able.
Lord, have mercy. God, have mercy. Lord, have mercy.
We pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
Lord Jesus Christ, you have always given to your church on earth faithful shepherds, such as Timothy, to guide and feed your flock. Make all pastors diligent to preach your holy word and administer your means of grace, and grant your people wisdom to follow in the way that leads to life eternal. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their need. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we thank you for the freedom, true freedom, that has been won for us by the perfect life, obedient death, and glorious resurrection. of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Help us to live in that freedom each and every day. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, teach us day by day not to abuse our freedom and use it as an excuse to sin. But help us, Lord, in that freedom to love you and to serve not ourselves, but our neighbor. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for all those who make the good confession. We ask you to bless us, not only here, but throughout the world, with faithful pastors and teachers to preach your word with power, so that many would hear and believe. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Great physician of body and soul, you chasten and you heal. We beg you to show mercy to all those who are sick or suffering this day. We pray for Mark Simnett and Karen Kamen as they are recuperating from surgery. Joe Velasquez as he is scheduled for surgery tomorrow. And we also pray for Good Shepherd member Marge Kelly, who is currently hospitalized. Heavenly Father, grant healing and grace in the midst of tribulation. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to preach and teach and to serve through all the different educational aspects of our congregation. We ask for your blessings during this National Lutheran Schools Week upon all Lutheran schools and especially upon Good Shepherd School and Preschool. Heavenly Father, help us to be good stewards of the little children and to teach your word in truth and purity. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
O God, from whom come all holy desires, all good counsels, and all just works, give to us, your servants, that peace which the world cannot give, that our hearts may be set to obey your commandments, and also that we, being defended from the fear of our enemies, may live in peace and quietness. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Let us bless the Lord. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Our closing hymn, number 658. Preserve your word, O Savior, 658. and welcome. Welcome in the name of Jesus. Just a couple of quick announcements. First, you're all invited for Bible study. Continue our study of Psalm 119 in the fellowship hall. Check out the Good Shepherd news and notes for all the activities and events happening in the days and weeks ahead. We have a lot of stuff going on. This Saturday is the March for Life. Pastor, you want to share a couple of words on that?
A.M. All the Lutherans, and I guess anyone else wants to come too, but the Lutherans gather together at Trinity Lutheran Church, just a few blocks away from the Capitol, and we'll have donuts and greetings, and then we'll have a brief worship service that I'll be leading at about 9:15, 9:20, and when that's done, we'll head over to the Capitol. And speakers at the Capitol, then we march to the Student Union across downtown.
A great way to make the good confession. Mm-hmm.
We begin our pre-Lent time now. We've got 3 Sundays. Vicar, you sure? All right. Have a great day and week in the freedom that is Jesus.